Hello again, everyone. Shall we just pray together and then we can turn to God's word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will just come and help us again in the preaching of your word. I ask that you'd help me as I speak your word. I pray, God, would you just anoint all that comes through. I pray that it will be very much be what you want your church to hear in this season. Father, would you prepare our hearts to receive all that you've got for us this morning? I pray, God, that your word would not return to you void, but will accomplish what you desire and the purpose for which you sent it. I pray, God, that every heart will be blessed and encouraged this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be sharing with us briefly on the whole subject of kingdom life. So obviously, for our venue Sundays, we've been looking at the foundation. So we started looking at building on the right foundation. We looked at repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we spent some time looking at the person of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning, we're sort of like we're continuing in our foundation series, but we will be looking at the whole subject of kingdom life, life in the kingdom. I don't know if you've seen that art, but you may have. It's a group of young men in a pub watching football, all right? You know, if I speak, football will come through. It will, it always does. So a group of young men sitting in a pub watching a football game, and then one team scores, and the majority in the pub go, oh, because their team has been scored, or they scored against their team. And then there's one guy in there who is all alone. Obviously, he cannot do anything. He cannot celebrate or anything because he is a fan of the team that has scored. So he sits there quietly, not knowing whether to smile or laugh or celebrate, but he's in there. So one person against 50 or 60. Eventually, he goes out of the pub quietly. He takes his coat off, reveals his true colors, and he goes, yes, you know. And then he goes quietly again, and then he walks away. Just that real sense of Christians being in the world, but not of the world. And so we go to the same supermarkets. We go to the same schools. We go in the same taxis, we go on the same buses, we go on the same trains. However, Christians or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are people who have undergone a radical change. Can I say that again? Believers in the Lord Jesus are people who have undergone a radical change. At the very core of your being, something deep and significant has happened to you. So you wear the same clothes, you go to the same places, you're with everybody else, but you're also very different. Are you following the argument? At the very core of your being, something significant has taken place. Something radical. And one way this is described in the Bible is in Colossians chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1 from verses 13 to 14. Colossians 1 verses 13 to 14. It says this. Interesting that Paul is writing to the believers in Colossae, and he calls them saints. He refers to the believers as saints. He refers to them as faithful brothers. Verse 13, he says, Paul writes, he says, he, that is God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. A few weeks back, my family and I had the privilege of going to Ghana for a few days. Now, we were transferred from London City Airport, maybe via Amsterdam, to Accra. So if you chased us up and arrived at Landing City Airport, you would not have seen us because we had been transferred to Accra. All right? Now, for the believer, this is what God has done. I'm just going to need to illustrate this with a chair. All right, Paul says, can you just read the verse to me, please? Let's all do it together if you've got your Bibles. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, he has delivered us. Let's just take this slowly. So it paints a picture of somebody who is effectively in chains, all right? Somebody effectively in chains in the domain or the kingdom of darkness, okay? We were all in the domain of darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. Proud to becoming children of God, we were all stuck in the kingdom of darkness or in the domain of darkness. All right, and what does the verse say? It says we were transferred. I think it was Laurie who was helping me with a very good illustration of, say, transferring funds or money from one account to the other. If I transfer £5 from my account to your account, the £5 would no longer be in my account, would it? Where would it be? In your account. Maybe you can do that for me. Sorry, just kidding. But it says that we were in the domain of darkness. And then we were transferred. Where were we transferred to? Into which kingdom? The kingdom of God. So we were transferred. We were here in the kingdom of darkness. We were transferred into the kingdom of his son. Take note, we were, if this is all you get today, church, my work is done. We were here in the kingdom or domain of darkness, where sin had stained us. We were crying out to God, but we couldn't reach him because sin separated us. We were in the domain of darkness. God, in his mercy, your salvation, my salvation, is a beautiful work of grace. God sent his son into that domain of darkness to deliver you and I, set us free, and transfer us into the kingdom of his son. Darkness into light. Brothers and sisters, something radical happened the very moment you ask Jesus into your heart. The very moment you surrendered and said, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. There was a transfer from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his son. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. A deep work of grace. A deep work of the Spirit of God. When we arrived in Ghana, it was very different from here. It was very warm. In fact, it was very hot. We were sweating profusely the entire time. It was a completely different terrain. Yeah, most people would speak English and all that, but there's over 86 other dialects spoken in Ghana. The food was different. The sights and sounds were different. Nobody uses the pound sterling there. No, we had to use the Ghanaian cedi. You haven't heard about it. Now you know. It was different. Because of the transfer, because there was a completely different authority in place, we had to go in there. We could not be British in there. We had to go in there and live under that authority. Does that make sense? I'm coming at something. I couldn't go there and then wear my winter coat. No, I'll fry. I had to do shorts, t-shirts, and flip-flops. It had to be different because it's a different lifestyle. It's a completely different place. We were transferred from the UK to Ghana. We could not go to Ghana and carry our coats with us. In fact, we didn't need them. And I think it's the same thing when we think about God moving us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God has done a significant work that ultimately impacts the way we begin to do life. And so as we look at kingdom life, I just want to set this before us, that there has been a transfer. Like I'm saying, if you leave this place this morning with just this one thing, I am no longer in the kingdom of darkness. I am in the kingdom of God's Son. I'm in God's kingdom. If you leave here with just this one thing, ultimately, I think it would impact the way you do your life. So now you all be aware, or it's very clear from what I've been saying, that there are two spiritual kingdoms in this world, the dominion of darkness or the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of God's Son. And we all start off in this one by the grace of God. He moves us in here when we respond to his good news and receive his Son as Lord and Savior. We've been brought into God's kingdom. So for the Christian, for the believer, for the child of God, you have been brought into the kingdom of God. You are a child of the kingdom. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. In fact, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to a different kingdom. When you wake up in the morning, know this. You belong to a different kingdom. Jesus is now your king. How exciting is that? Jesus is now your king. It doesn't mean we don't honor the authority in place. That's not what I'm saying. But we have a new king. His name is Jesus. And he's brought us into his kingdom. Think about that. Jesus' kingdom. We've been brought in there. Everything about us has changed. Everything about you, the believer, has changed. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Jesus talked about the kingdom. If you read the Gospels, he often talked about the kingdom. Jesus was passionate about the kingdom. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and be baptized. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is amongst you. Jesus would often go on about the kingdom. It tells us that he was very passionate about the kingdom. The apostles, likewise, they talked a lot about the kingdom, just like Jesus did. But what is this kingdom that I'm talking about? It is not a place. Simply put, it's interesting that Jesus at no point in time told us exactly what the kingdom was. In fact, nobody even asked him. Jesus was speaking about it, but nobody put up his hand to go, Jesus, what is this kingdom? But looking at all the things Jesus said, we discover that the kingdom of God, simply put, is the rule and the reign of God in the lives of his people. It's about God's rule and reign in the lives of his people. It's about God's government in the hearts and in the lives of his people. It is about God's will being done in the hearts and in the lives of his people. The kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God in the lives of his people. And so when you're brought into the kingdom of God, you come under a new sovereignty. There's a new government in place. And the person who runs this government is Jesus. And so we come under Jesus' rule and his reign. We live for him. We open ourselves up to, because he is now our king. We are people in his kingdom. He is our king. How exciting is that? We are members of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our king. No longer members in the domain of darkness. We are part of the kingdom of God. You're a saint. Yeah, Paul, he's writing to the believers in Colossae. He says, dear saints, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a saint, Paul says. You're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. How exciting is that? I love your kingdom, Jesus. And I think as citizens of this kingdom, we want to try and then think about how Jesus' government or his sovereignty impacts our lives. When you live under a sovereignty or under a government, there are things that will naturally impact you and your life. So if I live in Ghana under the Ghanaian government, there's a certain time that I would start school as a child. If I live in Ghana under the Ghanaian government rule and sovereignty, there's a certain currency that you use in Ghana. If you live in Ghana under the Ghanaian government rule and sovereignty, you don't just drive on any side of the road. You drive on the right-hand side of the road. I remember when I was learning to drive here. Oh, goodness me. Took the car onto the road and was in the wrong lane. I think my instructor, he just looked at me, and then I worked out what the problem was. Quickly moved into the right lane. Because in Ghana, we drive on the right-hand side of the road. Here, you drive on the left-hand side of the road. You cannot go to Ghana and say, because you drive on the left-hand side of the road here, you want to come and drive on the left-hand side there. I think you would run into lots of trouble. Does that make sense? Again, I cannot come here and say, oh, well, in Ghana, we've always driven on the right-hand side of the road. And so, no, I won't. No, it doesn't work that way. Because of the government in place, there are things that affect the citizenry. And in the same vein, we are citizens of the kingdom. And I think the big question is, whose voice do we listen to? Who is our king? It's not just church. I know these are foundational things, but I was just finishing preaching notes this morning, and I was just struck by the fact, just simple thing like, how often do I sit down and ask myself, what are the things that God really likes? And what things does he dislike? Do you know what I mean? I don't know how often we stop ourselves and go, well, God, you are my king. I really would like to find out the things that you love so I can love them. And find out the things that you really dislike so I would also dislike. I don't know how often we do. It just struck me this morning. And this is somebody who says he's an elder in the church or a pastor in the church. So we all have, we don't often stop and go, well, Jesus, you are my king. You, Jesus, I am not my king. Jesus is my king. And if Jesus is my king, then there's got to be a point where I come to him in complete surrender and say, Jesus, I want you to teach me the way to go. We live under a new government, a new authority, a new sovereignty. And this affects all of our lives. It affects how we do every area
of our lives is affected as a result. The way we do relationships, just the kind of choices we make on a daily basis, the way we use our money. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. The kingdom of the world says, keep, when you have money, keep, and you have more. The kingdom of God, it says, give and God will give back to you. What kind of kingdom is that? To the natural mind, it doesn't make sense. I'll share a little testimony with you. Again, just before we went to Ghana, went up to the Hastings Center and noticed that somebody had left a gift of money in my pigeonhole. And I thought, oh, this is exciting. Praise God for that. Person didn't leave a name or anything. As soon as I picked the envelope, God kind of like said, I want you to give it away. All right, okay. Oh, I wasn't really expecting that. But you know the voice of God. When God speaks to you, you kind of like, you know this is God. So I went home and I told my wife, well, somebody's giving us some money, but I really feel God wants us to give it away. I thought my wife would go, no, let's not do it. My wife said, then do it then. And so we did. It was quite a significant amount, but we gave it all away. But I think the exciting thing for us was that every single person who got a bit of that money, later we would discover that it so transformed their lives. It so transformed their lives. We were just going in obedience to what God had said. The natural inkling was, oh, we could keep that. We could do A, B, C, and D. God says, give it away. Now, he doesn't do that all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, I often, we've been on a journey with God when it comes to money. And I think God's been teaching us to not always want to hold and keep, but to learn to give. I don't think we've arrived yet. I still have moments when I go, but God, would you really want me to do that? Really? But really? And God says, yes. Really? This is a bit of a hard one, really? Says, yes, that's the way it works in the kingdom. But the exciting thing is that there's a joy that comes with that as well. God teaches you. You learn a joy in releasing. So you don't always go, I just want to have, I just want to keep. But God teaches you to be a blessing. God blesses you and he makes you a blessing. That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. It's an upside down kingdom. Just love for one another. Having love for one another in this place, it's such a testimony for the world out there. The world looks at us and they go, who are these people? When people faithfully cook meals, when somebody's unwell, the world stands back and they look and they don't get it. But that is the kingdom of God. They don't get it. They admire, they don't get it. It's a different kind of kingdom. Three things quickly. How should this truth impact us? In Colossians 1, earlier on, Paul says, from verses 9 to 10, Paul says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. And my prayer for each one of us is that we will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and then in verse 10, he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's so three things I want to highlight quickly as I finish. How should this knowledge of being citizens of the kingdom of God affect us practically? Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Church, walk in a manner worthy of this God who has called you into his kingdom. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The obedience that believers practice must be sufficient to give the world an adequate picture of the Lord and his purposes. So I was using the example of just harmony amongst believers, or just harmony in the church, love for one another. So disunity in the church doesn't paint a picture of what Jesus is like. No, it doesn't. I'm not saying we will not have disagreements. That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about disunity in the church. The picture we should send forth to the world is a sense of unity in the local church, because it speaks volumes of what Jesus is like. There is unity in the Godhead. Live lives worthy of the Lord. Secondly, Paul says, lives that are also pleasing to him. It's a pretty simple thing. Is my life pleasing to the Lord? Maybe ask yourself that question. Is my life pleasing to the Lord? As a local church, are our lives pleasing to the Lord? Simple question, but one we should ask ourselves every now and then. And then finally, Paul says, I'm just trying to find the verse, bearing fruit in every good work. And so we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, a citizenry of the kingdom of God. Secondly, we live lives that are pleasing to him. And then number three, Paul says that citizens of the kingdom bear fruit. Maybe today you can start thinking about who you can begin to pour your life into. Maybe think about the person who first told you about the Lord Jesus. Think about the person who discipled you. Think about the person who was there for you in the hard times. Think about the person who is still there for you today, who would text you every now and then and, you know, some encouragement from the scriptures, who would meet up with you for a walk along the seafront. Is there somebody you can do that for? Somebody did it for you. Somebody's brought you to a good place. Is there somebody you could likewise do that for? The believer is a good seed, and you can begin to sow into another life. Maybe this morning, again, have a think. Is there anyone here I could begin to pour my life into? Is there anyone here I could take alongside and walk alongside and come alongside and say, I would pray for you, I will be there, I will send you a text every now and then. I would want to do life with you. Is there any? I know many of you are already doing that. But for those who aren't connected in that way, is there anyone you can begin to pour your life into? A bit of the kingdom life. We are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. We are in the kingdom of God's Son. We are members of the kingdom of God. Our lives have been transformed. The old is gone. The new has come. We live under a new authority, a new sovereignty, a new king over our lives. We answer to him and to him alone. The more we do that, the more the other voices slowly disappear into the background. We answer to the voice of one. We respond to the audience of one. Above everyone, above all, his name is Jesus, and he gave himself for us. Father, we thank you for your kingdom. Thank you that your kingdom will never come to an end. I thank you that we are part of an eternal kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. I thank you, Jesus, you are our King. You handpicked each one of us and brought us into your kingdom. But Jesus, I'm also aware that there may well be some here in this place who haven't yet been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Jesus, I thank you that you know them as well. And even at this time, I just would want to just send out this invitation, really, and say that if you're here this morning and you've never just come to that place of complete surrender, you've never actually responded to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you in my life. You're here this morning, you've never done that. Remember, there's just two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. If Jesus hasn't come in, then it means that you still haven't made the transfer as yet. I'd love to have a chat at the end or find somebody else who, maybe the person who brought you or, you know, one of the leaders. We'd love to have a chat to just talk some more about, you know, God's kingdom and how you can become a citizen of God's kingdom. Lord, I just thank you that you've got each one of us in your hands. I thank you that you know each one of us. I thank you that you've got plans for each one of us. And I pray, God, that you would equip each one of us to live lives worthy of you, Lord. Help us live lives that are pleasing to you, Lord. And help us be those who bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Help us be a church that is united and the church that reflects you through and through. Jesus, we love the fact that you are our King. And we praise you, Lord. God bless you, church. Amen.